welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for the family with an emphasis on finding out what God has to say to us through His Word, the Bible. John W. Rollins, former Lieutenant Governor of Delaware, writes in his article, Add 2 Years to Your Life, The early bird has a good lesson to teach us. Maybe you don't like the idea of getting up at 6 a.m. and working an hour before the rest of the world punches a time clock, but there can be a lot of compensations. This can be your quiet hour before others awake. It's a wonderful time for clear thinking and tackling knotty problems that looked impossible the evening before. For me, it is absolutely necessary. Getting up an hour earlier offers a chance to plan that long, busy day ahead. Thus wrote John W. Rollins. You know, that's a good idea. And we'd just add that the early hour is a great time to open your Bible and get a word from the Lord for that day. On the Emmaus Bible Hour, we encourage you to open your Bible and find out what it says. For many people, the morning quiet time results in rich treasures from the Bible. This is our final study in the course, Summary of the Bible. We hope you've enjoyed it. If you've missed some of the programs, why not write for the complete series in book form? Our address will be given at the close of the program. Now the first epistle of Peter. This letter was written to Christian Jews in modern Asia Minor who are going through intense suffering because of persecution. His message is one of hope. The Christian can look beyond suffering to glory. For the present, God's grace is sufficient for every time of need. As to the future, the wealth of the Christian is incorruptible: the blood of Christ, the Word of God, and the future inheritance. Persecution can never rob him of these. Therefore, the apostle urges the saints to stand fast, to look on sufferings as necessary, temporary, and helpful, and to suffer for well-doing, not for their own sins. He encourages all to follow Christ's example by holy living. The apostle then speaks particularly to them as citizens, slaves, husbands, wives, especially in view of the approaching end of the age. Elders in the church are exhorted to faithfulness, and the younger ones to obedience and submission. 2 Peter, like 2 Thessalonians and 2 Timothy, speaks of church conditions in the last days when corruption will be complete in Christendom. In chapter 1, the apostle pleads for the development of Christian character in view of the certainty of the coming kingdom when rewards will be manifest. Chapter 2 warns of false teachers who will lead many astray, but whose judgment is inescapable. The last chapter tells of latter-day infidels who will deny the truth of Christ's coming. The Apostle Peter reaffirms the doctrine of the second advent and the judgment of this world. He exhorts the believers to diligence, holiness, steadfastness, and growth in grace in the light of his coming. Now we take a brief look at 1 John. In this letter, the Apostle John describes the traits of those who are members of the family of God. Just as there are striking resemblances in human families, so the children of God are alike in many ways. Some of those likenesses are, first, they walk in the light rather than in the darkness. That is, they no longer have the sin habit. Second, they confess their sins when they do sin, in order that the happy family spirit might be maintained. Third, they keep God's commandments. Fourth, they love the brethren or other believers. Fifth, they confess the Lord Jesus Christ by life and by lip. Sixth, they possess the Holy Spirit. And finally, seventh, they overcome the world. The epistle also corrects false ideas concerning the deity and humanity of the Lord Jesus. He is perfect God, and perfect man. Any other concept of God than is found in Christ is idolatry. Many wonderful verses in this first letter of the Apostle John. Let's turn to 1 John 5, verses 12 and 13. That's the fifth chapter of 1 John, and then the 12th and 13th verses. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. This book or letter was written so that you might know that you have eternal life. As the music plays, why not get your Bible and turn to 1 John and examine these verses more carefully. Listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is the program where we encourage you to study your Bible and we provide helps for you. Right now we're completing a series of studies called Summary of the Bible. We've looked briefly at most of the books of the Bible. In fact, in just a few moments, we'll be looking at the remaining ones. And we'd like to remind you that this entire course is available in book form. Now, lesson 12. And this is page 3 of Summary of the Bible, 2nd and 3rd John. It's interesting to contrast these two epistles. 2nd John is a warning against false teachers. The apostle's advice is to keep the door closed to those false teachers. 3rd John, on the other hand, concerns those who are true believers. The Christian should show hospitality and kindness to them. Three men are mentioned in 3 John. Gaius is commended for his godliness and hospitality. Diotrephes is rebuked for his self-importance. Demetrius is praised for his consistent behavior. These two letters are very short. One has 13 verses and the other 14. Why not sit down and read them right after this broadcast? Here's a sample from 3 John. It's verse 2. John, in writing to Gaius, says, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers." That was 3 John, verse 2. Now the next to the last book in the New Testament. Another short book, the letter of Jude. Jude's epistle has to do with the sin of apostasy. That is, the sin of knowing the truth and abandoning it. He uses three incidents to show how apostasy has been punished: the backsliding Israelites, the fallen angels, and the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Then he mentions three types of apostasy, illustrated by three Old Testament characters: Cain, an example of human religion and hatred of God's people; Balaam, a man dealing in divine matters for monetary reward; and then Kor, an example of rebellion against divine rules. Notice how these men are described in verses 12 and 13 of Jude. "These men are those who are hidden reefs in your love feasts, when they feast without fear, caring for themselves. Clouds without water, carried along by winds. Autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. Wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam. Wandering stars, for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. Finally, the revelation. The Apostle John's revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ looks into the future, when all of God's purposes for the earth will reach their fulfillment, and a new heaven and a new earth will be ushered in. Here we see God pulling back the curtain so that we can see some future events. It is helpful to outline the book. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 contain 7 letters to churches in Asia. And though these letters might have been addressed to literal churches in John's day, it's also true that they give an accurate sketch of the church through the various stages of history. There's even information here on the state of the church when the Lord will come again. Chapters 4 and 5 give us a view of the saints in heaven, gathered around the throne and worshiping the Lamb. Many believe that this takes place after Christ has returned to take his people home. Then chapters 6 through 19 describe the terrible judgments which will be poured out on the unbelieving world during the period known as the tribulation, or the time of Jacob's trouble. In describing these judgments, John uses figurative expressions as the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven vials. At the close, the Lord Jesus Christ will personally appear to destroy all his enemies. Chapters 20, 21, and 22 tell us that Christ will reign in the earth for 1,000 years, during which time Satan will be bound in the bottomless pit. At the end of Christ's earthly reign, he will judge the wicked of all ages, and they will be cast into the lake of fire. New heavens and a new earth will follow. God's people, sinless and deathless, will dwell with him in undisturbed happiness forever and ever. It is interesting to notice that while the last book of the Old Testament closes with the word curse, the final book of the New Testament ends with a blessing. Here are the words: "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." The reason for this is that Calvary comes in between the two. Yes, Calvary delivers us from the curse of sin, and then brings us into a place of blessing. Thus we conclude Lesson 12 of the Emmaus Bible Course, Summary of the Bible. Those of you studying at home should now do your final exam and mail it to the address given. To those of you who have not yet written, we urge you to take down our address, which will be given in just a few moments. We would enjoy hearing from you. If you have questions, send them to us. You have been listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour.